So on this Easter morning, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and imagine with me, if you will, a love like this. A love that forgives. A love that creates, constructs, and builds. A love that makes love. A love that crosses borders and tears down walls. Imagine with me a love that turns swords into plowshares and makes wolves to lie down with lambs, a courageous love, prophetic love, a speaking truth to power kind of love, the kind of love that knows the phrase the common good, a love that's willing to risk me for us, a love that's woke and waking, not broke and breaking, a love that's rooted in the past, open to the present, anticipating the future, a love that laughs in flowers and paints in rainbows, a love that prays, a love that prays, a love that prays, a love that's in love with God and in love with neighbor and in love with self. Imagine with me a love like imagine what we could do with a love like this. We could endure, couldn't we? And we could overcome, and we could heal, and we could turn what is into what can be. With a love like this, we can be God's partners in weaving this whole broken world back together again. I know, I really do. I know a love like this. And here's a story about it. That in the beginning, when the earth was formless and empty, God decided to create. So light came and animals came, and God breathed life into woman, into man, and God looked at all of it and called it good. And the relationship between creator and creature was like this, right up until it wasn't. Maybe you know the story. There's some nasty business in the Garden of Eden with a snake and some fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and all of that results in Eve and Adam being expelled from the garden and made to wander east of Eden, where life was hard. And as hard as life was east of Eden, God did not leave Eve and Adam. And in the generations, the countless generations that have come since then, God has never left. Even though time and time again we have rejected God and hurt one another and failed to live into God's ways of peace and love and justice, time and again we've done that, but God has refused to let us go and sought to hold us close like this, sought always for relationship. And after many years of this cycle of brokenness between God and us, God decided enough was enough. That God was going to do something different, something the world had never seen before. So on a not so silent night in the middle of nowhere, born to nobody parents, Jesus came in a place called Bethlehem. We don't know much about Jesus' life for the first 30 years, but at a certain point, he was ready. Something clicked. Something changed. He felt a call, so he went and found John the Baptist and was baptized in the Jordan River and then whisked away to spend 40 days preparing himself in the wilderness. And when he came out, he was as close to God as ever, and he was ready. And so he wandered around teaching people and healing people and saying things to the powerful that they didn't like. Many people loved Jesus and followed him and wanted to be like him. Some people were a little bit put off by him, and there were some that were challenged by him, threatened by him. And the people who were most threatened by him were those who had something to lose with his message. The political authorities, the religious authorities, those with power. And as threatened power so often does, it chose the path of violence. and it plotted to kill Jesus. You know it, they did, but Jesus knew that too. He was no fool and no dummy. And he knew that his days were numbered, but he decided to do something strange anyway. He got onto a donkey and rode across the road filled with palms right into the gates of Jerusalem, right into the centers of power, which was bold and outrageous and dangerous. But when he was done, that day, he didn't stop doing bold and outrageous things. He turned over tables in the temple. He said outrageous things and preached outrageous sermons, and all of that caught up to him on Thursday. You see, that's the day when he had a Last Supper with his disciples. That's the day when he was betrayed. And after he was done praying in the garden, the authorities came and arrested Jesus. And after that, things moved quickly. He was questioned by the political authorities and the religious authorities, those who were threatened by him. And he was tortured and crucified, nailed to a cross where he died, breathed his last. And it seemed like, to those who hated Jesus and those who loved him, it seemed like that was the end, but it wasn't the end, was it? Because on the third day, something extraordinary happened. At very early in the morning, the women went to the tomb. You see, they were going to finish burying him properly. They had been rushed from the Sabbath onset back on Friday, so they left early in the morning to finish burying him properly. But when they got to the tomb, you know what happened. The tomb stone had been rolled away. And so they went inside. And they found there not the lifeless body of Jesus, but a young man wearing white who scared the heck out of them. So he tries to soothe them. "You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is risen. Look. So go and tell the disciples." And so they backed out slowly and said, "Oh, okay, sure." And then they ran away and did exactly what you and I would have done. Terrified in fear, they said nothing to anyone for a time. You see, it was special news. It was great good news. It was miraculous news. And news like that just can't be hidden for very long. You see, because in that moment, that was the moment where we came to know that Jesus, who was dead, was alive again. You see, it was in that moment that we began to know that the cycle of brokenness between God and God's people, that was forever repaired. We got to know in that moment that the gates of the Garden of Eden were opening again for us. You see, we got to know that though we often meet God with rejection and hate and violence, even though we meet one another with rejection and hate and violence, we got to know that God refuses to meet us there. God will not meet hate with hate and violence with violence and rejection with rejection, but God chose to take all of that junk and to meet it with grace and with love. And with the saving of all of us and forever. And it was in that Easter moment, with the light shining as bright as 1,000 suns, that we got to see the mind-blowing, everything-changing love like this. Imagine a love. A love that forgives. A love that creates, constructs, and builds. A love that makes love. A love that tears down walls and crosses borders. Imagine a love that turns swords into plowshares and makes wolves to lie down with lambs. A courageous love, a prophetic love, a speaking the truth to power kind of love. Imagine a love that laughs in flowers and sings in rainbows. a love that's not broke and breaking, but that's woke and waking. A love that's rooted in the past and open to the present and anticipating the future. A love that prays, a love that prays. Did you hear me when I said a love that prays? A love that's in love with God and in love with neighbor and in love with self. Imagine a love like this. And so here's what I know. That in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we've been given a love like this. Which means that we can endure and overcome and heal and turn what is into what can be. With a love like this, we can, yes, we can. We can weave this whole broken world back together again as partners with our loving God. And isn't a love like this worth celebrating today and every day? And isn't a love like this worth ordering our lives around? Isn't it worth changing for? And isn't it worth screaming from the rooftops like we did in the sunrise service this morning, Happy Easter! So let's end this morning. Screaming, maybe not from the rooftops, but from the pews. On three, Happy Easter, so that the Episcopal Church and the Methodist Church in Shelburne can hear us. One, two, three. Happy Easter! Loving God, thank you for life out of death, for Easter, and for like a love like this, that we've been called to go and tell. Amen.